So far, a lot of football talk on this edition of the Kenny and JT Show with our high school football awards banquet last night. Again, congratulations to all the winners. We will have all the photos up by the end of this week at WHBC.com. You can go listen to their winning speeches. The individual award winners at WHBC.com right now is Billy Beebe. Put them up on the website last night. We've been talking Ohio State football. We've been talking Ohio State basketball as they knocked off Duke last night, and a little Browns, and we'll hear from their general manager, Andrew Berry, a little bit later on in the show. But we need to give some love to the one team in Cleveland that is playing very well and the only team in Cleveland right now that is above 500, and that would be your Cleveland Cavaliers. So let's go to the Wake'em Way hotline right now, bring in former NBA player, assistant coach in the NBA, head coach at college. He's been on the show before, and we're happy to have him back. Rex Walters joining us via the Wake'em Way hotline. Coach Walters, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Always great to talk with somebody who played in the league, coached in the league, coached at the highest level of college basketball and that. And I want to get your thoughts on the Cavaliers right out of the gate, Rex, because 11-10, I thought they were going to start 0-8 when I looked at their schedule and how they opened up on the road. They survived that. They survived Mobley going down for a few games. And here they are 21 games into the season, Rex, and they're 11-10 going into Miami tonight. How surprised are you by that?
I am surprised, but I'll say this. They've really committed, and if you look at the teams that are successful, they really make a concerted effort that their defense is going to protect the paint, which they do. They got great length. We know about the tri-towers that they got going on over there. They defend. That's the bottom line. They defend the rim. They're getting out and eliminating three-point shots. They're a good offensive rebounding team. They're winning ugly. They're just a really hard out. Even in these last seven games where they went 2-5, they were in every game except for the Golden State Warriors game, and they were really banged up. So they keep finding ways to survive and give themselves a chance to win.
Rex, no Colin Sexton, obviously out for the season. In Cleveland basketball, these fans are dumb. When they come out, and they've been coming out, they love guys that are energy guys, whether it's a Varejao, maybe a Dellavedova. We got this kid, Ricky Rubio. Okay, he's a journeyman in the NBA. We love him. What can you tell us about him?
Well, everyone loves to play with him. If you're open, he's going to find you. He's going to make the right play over and over again. And that's like such a great skill for a point guard to have. But also the fact that he can play with Garland, they can play together. He's got the size that he can guard, you know, shooting guards and guard points. So he's just a great, great acquisition. Like I said before, the biggest thing is, everyone loves playing with the guy, and he puts you in position to be successful. And for a town like Cleveland, it's a hard hat team. Mm-hmm. He's a hard hat player, and that's why teams love him.
Can this Cavaliers team continue to win with 3 7-footers, Chris? Or excuse me, Rex, in the lineup? I was thinking of John Lucas, and we always used to joke because Coach Lucas, I love the bigs. I had Chris Mims with me. And he would always talk about all these bigs that he wanted to have, right? And we were looking at him. You can't play that many bigs, right? But the Cavaliers are starting Lauri Markkanen when healthy, 7-footer, Jared Allen, 7-footer, and now Evan Mobley, 7-footer. So can this continue? Can they continue to win with 3 7-footers in a three-point shooting league?
Well, here's the thing about your three bigs, and then you talk about Kevin Love, but 3, 4, and 5, you can switch all pick and rolls because all those guys can defend at the perimeter, and now you've also got 2 7-footers waiting for you at the rim. So, like we've talked about it before, defensively, it makes them very, very difficult. You're not getting a lot of second shots. You're not getting any layups at the rim. Yeah, offensively, it may not always be pretty, but they are a ground and pound team. They're gonna continue to put pressure on the rim with pick and rolls, get to multiple actions, and when you do that and defend at a high level, yes, you have a chance every single night. Even as they've been banged up, they've done a great job of giving themselves a chance to find a way to get W's in the NBA. So Miami's a great test. No Bam Adebayo tonight, but they're putting themselves in position to win. Every time I watch them, the paint is protected, and they close hard to take away threes.
Rex, we're at the quarter mark now. We're talking a rebuild. Last year, Kenny and I both agreed that we want to be a team like Atlanta, maybe Phoenix on the rise. If you're still rebuilding, when can you believe in this team, or are you going to be getting towards a trade deadline and saying, okay, we're almost there, we're still in a rebuild mode, let's trade a guy on a one-year contract like a Ricky Rubio, let's maybe see if there's value now to Kevin Love and try to move him. We like the pieces and parts on this team right now. Or will they try to maybe mix it up a little bit?
You know, to be honest with you, I wouldn't mess with this thing. This team has winning habits. And when I say that, they understand what it takes to win. Now, you take away a Rubio, that's going to take away some of your chemistry. Kevin Love is bought into the role that he has. Now, if you can get something that fits, yeah, of course you're going to make a move. But you always want to mess. You don't want to mess with your chemistry. You don't want to test. You don't want to mess with the great vibes that this team has. They seem to like playing with each other. They've really bought into this. So that's a tough one. It's got to be a piece that really puts you at another place. But how are you really going to get that in a trade? So I would be hesitant to do it. I would continue to build this thing the right way. Go with your younger players, teaching them how to win with a good mix of veterans that understand success in the NBA.
Happy to have you the Wake'em Way Hotline. Rex Walters with us. You can follow him on Twitter at Coach Rex Walters. Big-time college player, played in the NBA, coached as a head coach in college, an assistant in the NBA, so well-rounded. He knows of what he speaks, and that's why we love having him on, talking Cavs and NBA. And Rex, I want to go back to Evan Mobley. He fell into the Cavaliers' lap. They really didn't have to make a decision for the most part after the first two picks with Cunningham and Green going, and he was still there. So it was nice because I still have my doubts about Kobe Altman, so he didn't have to think. He just had to turn the name in. But having said that, right now, this kid is in the running for Rookie of the Year with Scottie Barnes, I think, and maybe another player as the season develops. But do you think Mobley can be the franchise player that they needed to turn this around? And I don't want to put LeBron James level of play on him, but can he do for the Cavs what LeBron did and get this team back to being relevant in the postseason?
Well, I think he's a guy that can definitely be an all-star. Like to think about those type of guys, I think you have to have an alpha mentality. You have to have a unbelievable work ethic mentality. He has the talent. I can't answer the questions about the work ethic, and I can't tell you about the app. I'm not there every day. But he is a guy, there's no question. He has the ability to be an all-star, and he has the ability to be one of those bookends that you can really build around to have really good success. When you think about some of the great teams in Cleveland, when you talk about the Mark Prices, the Brad Doherty's, the Larry Nance's, you can have those type of teams. And then, unfortunately, you just can't run into a Michael Jordan. You know, and that's the tough part. But I don't know if Evan Mobley's that. But I do think he is a potential all-star for a very long career.
It's amazing the way they constructed this team. And when you see guys coming and going, and a couple of years ago you saw Colin Sexton not getting along with a Kevin Love. Talk a little bit about chemistry in the NBA and what it means, because it seems as though these guys all love each other.
Yeah, I think Colin needed to learn that, you know, Kevin Love does have championship DNA. And Kevin Love has gone through the stuff to talk about the mental health. You talk about some of the injuries and going from a championship contender to a rebuild. That's a very difficult thing for a guy. And then he's looking at Colin Sexton like you have no idea what it takes to be successful. Well, Colin's really, I think, bought into that. Even though he's injured, he's really bought into that. And Kevin's probably been a very good, like, example or mentor for those younger guys. So it's really interesting to see how they put together. But here's the thing about Cleveland that I like. They've got great character. They've bought into what J.B. Bickerstaff is selling, and we talked about it again. It's the defense, and playing defense in the NBA is hard. To be in and protect the paint and then close, that's hard. You've got to have tough-minded guys that are intelligent and skilled. And Cleveland, although they're different with all the size, that's what they have, and that's why it's really exciting for the Cleveland fans right now.
All right, you were head coach in college. You were on staffs in the NBA as an assistant. You were a player, so you played for a couple of different head coaches. The direction I'm going in here is what makes a good NBA coach compared, Rex, to a college coach? Where does the difference lie in between those two?
Well, here's the thing. In college, you kind of have the hammer, or you used to before NIL came along, whereas in the NBA, you don't necessarily have the hammer, but in terms of controlling playing time, things of that nature. So you have to, number one, have instant credibility as an NBA coach that, hey, I can put you in situations to be successful. I know how to help you and help us look really, really good. And so I think that's one of the biggest things you have to do, because those players are highly intelligent, really understand the game, and they can sniff out BS quickly. And once they sniff it out, you'll lose them, and you'll lose them forever. So that's the one thing that I think JB's really done, is these guys believe in what he's doing, believe in what he's saying, and that's giving them a chance. And they're going to test you over the course of 82 games. They're going to test you. Is this coach going to punk out in this situation? Is this coach going to give it on this situation? And is he good in all the situations that are going to arise? 82 games, 24-second shot clock, 48 minutes. You've got to be on your game all the time. And then you have to have the humility when you do make a mistake to own up to it. So there's a lot of things that you really have to handle, whereas in college you've got 1,000 other things that you're really thinking about. Where in the NBA, it's all basketball all the time, but you've got to be on your A game. You're not trying to fool no 18, 19, 20-year-olds that don't even know who they are, right? NBA players are grown men that get it, so you have to have it all the time with every decision that you make. And when you make a wrong decision, you've got to handle that one the right way as well.
Let's talk about that for a second, Rex. When you're talking about grown men playing a game, and you're talking about guys like maybe a Ben Simmons that we heard maybe didn't have the work ethic, we're talking about a young team, and we're looking at players like Darius Garland, Isaac Okoro. How long and how much work goes in? Can these guys become prolific? I'm not going to say a Steph Curry, but can they become a little bit better three-point shooters through working hard diligently through the season, or does that all happen in the offseason?
Oh, I think it's going to happen more so in the offseason. And also, I think you've got to be really smart with your player development work plan, with your plan, pre-practice, post-practice, pre-game, post-game, to really make sure that you're getting the right type of reps, game speed, but yet at the same time, not wearing a guy out, because the 82-game grind is a lot. And then you have to have guys that are committed. I saw Lonzo Ball last year, his work ethic in terms of developing a consistent three-point shot. Number one, he wanted to do it. He wanted to make that change. Mm-hmm. So that's what those guys are going to have to do in Cleveland. They're going to have to want it, and you're going to have good player development guys that they believe in, right, that's going to really fine-tune that shot, those mechanics, the repetition, to help them become the player that they can be. They'll never be Steph Curry, but they can be a competent threat that people are going to have to worry about when they are on the perimeter.
Kenny thinks it's Mark Price.
Yeah, no, they're not going to be Mark Price either. I played against Mark Price. Oh, my God. That dude was so freaking good, could stop on a dime, could shoot threes, play fast. But that was something he basically did at a very young age over and over and over again. That's something he committed to. Where these players, when you get to be about 23, 24, okay, you can become confident. But you're not going to be an assassin like Mr. Mark Price.
No. Kenny wants Mark Price to be their shooting coach. Is that a possibility?
That's not a bad idea. Obviously, he's beloved in Cleveland, was a part of some great, great teams. He's got a great rapport with players. He's patient. He's smart. So that would be a great one, no question. And you got to also make sure that when you're putting the staff together, they fit together as a staff. And I don't see why Mark couldn't fit, because I think he could fit just about anywhere. So that's a great name.
Yeah, Mark, I watched him play, and we used to be able to watch all of practice as media members, right? Back when you were playing in that against Mark and the guys, come on in, watch practice, okay? So we'd see these guys in the drills and the shooting drills that they would do, and Mark would just wear out the net, regularly. Now we're allowed to watch him stretch before practice, and that's about it. So we don't get to see, who's working hard, who's doing the extra shooting before practice and working harder in practice and everything like that. Do you think that AAU basketball has ruined some of the fundamentals of the game, and that's why some of these kids come into the league and they can't shoot?
Well, I think that has something to do with it. I mean, there's some really good AAU programs, and there's some AAU programs that they just roll out the ball. And here's the thing, they're focusing on the game in terms of playing the game, but they're not working on all the little things that really help you become a great basketball player. So, yes, I think that there's a fine mix, and I think the international pro teams overseas, they figured that out, what they've done in terms of their skill development. That's why you got a Luka Doncic. That's why you got Giannis is 7 feet, but that's why you've got this great international flavor now with really, really skilled guys that can pass, handle, and shoot, and it's not just about athleticism. So, yeah, I agree with what you're saying to an extent. There are good programs, but there are also programs they just roll the ball out, and, hey, if we're bigger, stronger, faster, we're probably going to win. But that doesn't help those young players once they go against other guys that are just as big, just as fast, as strong. It becomes a skill game at that point.
What irritated me, I coached with a buddy of mine who played at Tennessee, and we coached a travel team, AAU travel team, and we weren't great. You know, we didn't have any Division I kids, but we still – and you'd play these great teams loaded with all this talent, and they would just press you and score layups, you know. And I'm looking at that, and I'm going, okay, yeah, they beat us by 20, whoop-de-doo, but are any of those kids getting better just pressing and stealing because they're more athletic? And that's where I just think that the game really needs to grow somehow, some way, either at the high school level. But the high school game isn't as important, Rex, right now as the AAU circuit is. Don't they recruit more on the AAU circuit than they do from the high school games?
Well, it's getting worse and worse now. With there are some real prep schools in the Northeast, and kids really go to school and go to class. You have a lot of prep schools now that it's just really basketball, which I don't agree with. I think you guys got to learn how to go to class. Guys learn how to budget their time. But also, when you have those type of situations, you've got young men that aren't being told the truth, right? The truth is the things that they really need to work on, and then coaches that know how to show them how to do that. So I agree with what you're saying, and coaching is a really, really difficult thing to do. But if you're a player, you want to be around people that know how to teach, know how to coach, understand how to break things down and help you become the best player you can be. Or over a matter of time, it's all going to catch up. I wasn't a great athlete, but I was fortunate to play 7 years in the NBA because I did have a really good coach, AAU coach actually, had a really good AAU coach, had a father that played the game and really taught me about the basic fundamentals. And those things really helped me, right, progress. And then obviously I got fortunate enough to play at Kansas and play for Roy Williams. But all those things add up. So you've got to make sure you're around good players that play the right way. You're getting coached by good coaches that coach the right way. And that's going to help you become the best player that you can be.
I love it. It's like going to basketball class with Rex Walters, NBA analyst, former NBA player and coach. Rex, I want to take you over to the West real quick because a lot of our listeners still love that LeBron kid. And they're not doing too well, and we understand that he's ill right now and will be in the NBA protocol for we don't know how long. But I want to ask you this question about whether or not, and we mentioned the fact that it's at the quarter mark already in the NBA season. How long of a season at 12-11 until you're a pretender or a contender?
Yeah, their team in particular, when you talk about the Lakers, they're still constantly trying to find themselves. They were a great defensive team the last 2 years. This year, they're not very good. They're older. They're maybe wiser, but, you know, defensively, you got to be able to move your feet, slide your feet, you know, close out, pull in. Those are all difficult things. And they're fine. And also, they've had some injuries. LeBron's been in and out of the offense. The biggest thing is for L.A. to have a chance and find themselves, they got to make sure that LeBron's on the floor. They're 7-4 when he's in the game, right? Everyone gets better when LeBron's on the floor. But, yes, there's no question. It's like Golden State right now. They're going to add in Klay Thompson. That's going to change the dynamics of that team. So it takes a long time to really find yourself as an organization, as a team, to really compete at a high level. And that's why I go back to that question about Cleveland and trade. Like, they've got a good thing going. They've got to see where this thing can go.
Did you watch last night, Suns and Warriors, Rex? What a hell of a game that was. And that's with the shooting guard, Booker, going down for Phoenix, and they still won their 17th in a row.
Yeah, no, they've got that guy. We talked about the alpha winner. That's what Chris Paul is. Like, he understands how to manage a game and give his team the best chance to be successful. And he's really got guys like Ayton to buy into that. You know, obviously Golden State, you know, when Steph Curry has a shooting night like that, it gets really, really difficult. But that was a great, great basketball game with two teams really right now. I know we got a lot of Laker fans out there. Those are the two top teams in all of the NBA right now. And so that was a great battle. And guess what? We get to watch in another couple of days. So that's going to be a lot of fun with the Klay Thompson potentially in the lineup.
Yeah, Klay Thompson had one of the greatest shooters ever in the game to a team that's 18-3 already. Scary good and fun to watch. You know, you look at the West, and you're right. They're the two best teams in the West and in all of the NBA. Who's the best team in the East? Is it the Brooklyn Nets, even without Kyrie Irving?
Well, I think Milwaukee now is starting to get healthy. So they're really the scary one to me. They're 13-8. With all the issues they've had, not having Drew Holiday, you know, Giannis has missed some time. Middleton's missed some time. They've had a lot of guys in and out of the lineup. So I would still say Milwaukee, without Kyrie Irving, I would say Milwaukee is going to be the team to beat. Now, for whatever reason Kyrie gets on the floor, that definitely changes things.
Rex, great stuff. We could talk to you all day about the NBA, but we always appreciate the time that we do have with you. Thanks so much for making it for us, and we'll do this again soon, all right?
You guys are the best. Have a great night. Thanks for having me.